Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and it is a beautiful day here in Chicago. Boy, the sun is shining, and there's some snow on the trees and not on the streets, which is all we're concerned about, so we can drive around Chicago. But it is a beautiful, beautiful winter day, and even better that I'm on the inside looking out. So once again, welcome to the Fly Girl Show. This is your host, Casey Grant, and this is going to be a special show today, and we are just really going to, my guest today is Barbara Chandler, and today we are just going to be able to reflect on one of our national heroes. We just lost another Tuskegee Airman. And not only is he a hero to the world, but he's my personal hero. And I've known Master Sergeant Richard Hall, which is what everybody in the world knows him as. I know him as Pops, affectionately so. I've known him since I was 10 years old. And he passed a couple of days ago, and Barbara Chandler, who is the manager of the Hannibal Square Heritage Center, which is in Winter Park, Florida, and we're going to give you history about that wonderful center also. But we're going to just do a little talking and laughing and reflecting and our own personal send-off to our wonderful hero. So if you give me just a moment, I'm going to read you just a little bit about the career of Master Sergeant Richard Hall. Hall served his country during World War II as a member of the Tuskegee Airmen in the 332 or I'm not sure how you pronounce it, how we say that, but 332 fighter group. The Tuskegee Airmen were renowned black pilots and support staff in the U.S. Army Air Force. Hall worked as a mechanic in Italy. After World War II, Hall pursued a career in the Air Force. That branch grew from the Army's Air Forces. He served in the Korean War, the Veteran War, before retiring in 1973 as a Chief Master Sergeant. A life-size statue of Hall was erected in his longtime home of Winter Park, Florida, at the Hannibal Square Heritage Center, which is where I said that Miss Barbara Chandler is the manager there. So with that little introduction, that just gives you a little insight about this wonderful, wonderful person. And now I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to bring my guest in, and we will be able to give you personal insight in lives and stories and make you laugh about a hero who passed, as I said, a few days ago at the age of 97. So with that, good morning, Barbara. Please come in and let's get this tribute going to a wonderful person.
Yes, 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 yes. Good morning, Casey. Good morning. It is so good to be on. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I am so happy to have you because, you know, there are two other people that I hope will chime in, and we were all childhood friends of Master Sergeant Richard Hall, as we say, and I say to everyone affectionately, so Pops. And I hope they are able to chime in and have a tribute. But it's just nice to get someone who knew him. You know, people always can read about a person and everything, but we personally knew him. So give us a little background on you, please, and the center, and then we'll go into that and then say how Pops was honored for the center. So let's just kind of do it that way. And then sadly, before it's all over, you were there with him on the day that he passed. And I really want people to hear that story because that little twist on the door story is a real good story for people to know.
Ah, wow.
So,
absolutely.
All right. So I'm going to listen and enjoy. So go ahead, Barbara, please.
All righty. Thank you so much, Casey. As Casey has stated, my name is Barbara Chandler. I am the operations manager, day-to-day manager at the Hannibal Square Heritage Center, which is located in historic Winter Park. A lot of times people, you mention Winter Park and people don't know that there is an African-American community that has always been there, known as Hannibal Square, of course, and has helped to give Winter Park this very elite and distinguished international brand that they carry. Of course, the community, just like several, many other communities that we know in our United States, have been through and still going through gentrification. That is the removal of African Americans, the removal of the black community. So the Heritage Center is a repository of the history of that community. And just like many other black communities that have went through and still going through gentrification, this was a very middle-class, thriving African-American community that I always say they had business efficacy. They owned their own business. And I emphasize this to say they were not just business owners, but they owned the brick and mortar of those businesses.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Teachers, influencers, very professional, middle to upper class African-Americans who were educated. They were educated, working, and when I say educated, not necessarily a formal education in all cases, but they knew how to construct their own communities. And we all know the churches in Hannibal Square, you have about 8 to 10 African-American churches, social clubs. So when you visit the Heritage Center, should you ever visit the Heritage Center, you will see photographs and oral stories as told by the residents themselves. This project was developed by documentary photographer Peter Schreier. We fall under the umbrella or auspices of Creoldi School of Art, and in that we have visiting exhibitions that come in, and we also have the permanent gallery is the collection, the Hannibal Square collection. In that, you will see photographs of Richard Hall when he was very young. You will see photographs of him and his family standing in front of their homes, and you will also see a life-size sculpture done by artist Rigoberto Torres of Mr. Hall that we dedicated in 2015, 2014. So this project is not just another community project, meaning the Heritage Center, but it holds the memories and the legacy of a community, and especially a person such as Richard Hall, Tuskegee Airmen, Chief Master Sergeant, and so many more people.
Well, now let me ask you, did you have, before you got the information on Pops, everyone get used to me saying Pops, but it is definitely Richard Hall, the 332nd Regiment of the Tuskegee, did you have any information on that before you brought in Pops to add to the Tuskegee, or did all, is Pops there representing Tuskegee Airmen?
Pops is there. Pops, I'll join you in saying Pops. Pops, Mr. Hall, Richard Hall. Our local hero, our national hero, this amazing man, not just an old country boy. Basically, everything in the museum about the Tuskegee was centered around Mr. Hall. He donated to us a photo of himself along with all the other Tuskegee Airmen being honored in the rotundo. So you can see that as you're walking up our second floor. The life-size, yes. And many people are aware of that photo. And I'll even do your listeners one better. If they go to our Facebook page, Hannibal Square Heritage Center, they will see images that have been donated by the Lake Hall Lodge number 33, which he also belonged to. So you will see images of Richard Hall in his community living, is what we'll call it, when he was interacting and engaging. So a lot of what we have in the Heritage Center regarding Tuskegee Airmen, it is in regards to Mr. Hall.
Perfect. And I have to say, I got to come back because when I met you and came to the center, it was a rushed deal, and I did not get the full effect of everything. But I have to tell you, the audience, if you get the opportunity, and once we are able to travel once again, put this on your to-do list because it really is a fabulous center for as much as I was able to see in that short period of time. But I am coming back, and I will take my time because, you know, when you know someone, sometimes you just you always think that you're going to be able to come back, and it's always another day.
That's right.
And, you know, Pops wanted to live. He was determined he was going to stay here until he reached 100. And as I had said to you, the last time when I saw you was in February, and we were there, and we surprised him for Valentine's Day. And it was Janice White and Jerry Rogers. We were all have known him since we were little. Janice and I met, but were introduced to Pops when we were 10 years old. So as I say, when I tell you I'm family, and my heart is heavy because of that. But I'm happy because Pop lived a wonderful life.
A wonderful life, and I'm going to echo that even more. And I want to tell your viewers. I am originally from the Virgin Islands. I came into this community at the Heritage Center just a volunteer. I came to volunteer. I love the way that they were preserving the history and telling the story of Black people and just the prominence that they had in that community. So for myself, I always refer to myself as just this little regular island girl dipping in and dipping out of communities. To have had so much one-on-one contact with Mr. Hall was nothing I ever imagined, not realizing when we're having these types of interactions, we don't realize the impact they will have on our lives.
Yes.
So yesterday, his nephew, Woodrow Hall, who is taking care of all of the arrangements, reached out to myself and another community leader that he needed help in preparing the program and those kinds of things. And of course we said yes. They sent us over, I know, and it's an honor. They sent over some images that he was able to look through and to be able to include in the program, of course. And in looking through those photographs, these precious memories of him as a child, him signing up to become a Tuskegee Airman, him receiving awards, sitting with his wife, sitting with his family, family outings, family trips. This man has lived an extraordinary life, an extraordinary life. And I gained so much. And we don't mean to sound cliche. I don't mean to sound cliche, but it's like, if you're going to live, live a good life. Live your best life, as they say.
Live your best life. Live a life full of excitement and joy.
Yes.
And Pops did it. He did it that way. And he was very approachable, obviously.
Extremely.
And because let me tell you, as a child, all of us, we never really understood and never were introduced. My father, it was Air Force, obviously. It was Chanute Air Force Base in Rantoul. And we never knew the importance of a Tuskegee Airman.
That's correct.
And in my book, I have a book that's out, as the audience knows, Stars in the Sky. I give you the history of the Tuskegee Airmen, the regiment that was at Chanute.
Wow.
And it's
wow.
history. It's a lot of history. But we never knew. We were kids. I never knew the importance of who Pops was. Pops was my girlfriend because Cookie was his daughter, and she's passed. She passed several years prior to Pops dying. But and of course, his wife, Thelma, was the sweetest person on this earth. She was an angel.
Wow.
And, she was. She was an angel and could cook. So, you know, I was always down there eating. I was always there. But Pops was just very humble. I mean, we just knew him. It was like he's in the military, like my father was in the military. And then so you grow up and you learn the history, and we all were enlightened to the importance of the Tuskegee Airmen. And if you don't know that, look it up, get my book, read about it. But the contribution to aviation, the 332nd unit of the Tuskegee Airmen, history, the history of the Tuskegee Airmen. You have to know it. It's so important.
It's very important. It's national history. It is not just African American history. It is not. It is world history, international.
It is
history.
World history. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. So, I mean, I just remember his infectious smile. I thought he only smiled at me that way, but I realized he smiled at everyone that way. So, again, for me, I think one of the fondest memories I have of him is about 3 years ago, his 95th birthday. Again, the Heritage Center, we have exhibitions every 3 to 4 months. And it was, we just had our big end of the year exhibition, coming to the end of the year. And I receive a phone call the next day. Mr. Hall's birthday is coming up. We got to do something. And I was like, whoa, this is short notice. And I remember preparing myself, going into the restroom and my bathroom, rather, and looking in the mirror and saying, it is not every day that a little island girl gets to host a Tuskegee Airman.
Yes.
Casey, it was like, get your, what did they say, pull up your big girl britches and get yourself together. And I realized at that point what was happening. And I have to say I successfully was able to pull together this community birthday celebration. We reached out to the Winter Park Library. We reached out to Cornerstone Hospice. We reached out to all these community partners, homeschoolers. Everyone, it was like stone soup. I'll bring the fruit. I'll bring the cake. John Baker. Yeah, yeah. It was total community. The upstairs of our gallery was wall to wall. We had people to come Dora, which is about an hour drive away. They realized the significance of what this was. And for us, and I say us meaning as Black people, to be able to do this for our hero, it was essentially important, because it's very important that we validate each other. So for me to be able to have a hand, to be at the helm of that, it was extraordinary. It was extraordinary.
Well, honoring him, you know, I love it that we don't wait, that you didn't wait, and that we didn't wait, and the world didn't wait. For those that did so much and was recognized, it took us a while to recognize the Tuskegee Airmen, but we have, and we did.
Yes.
And we are, and to make him feel happy and understand, and we appreciated his contributions, that just was unbelievable.
Truly.
So, so now let's get back to some stories. Okay, so the birthday party was your big, your very first big.
That was, yes.
And you did it. I'm sorry?
I said I felt like at that moment I had grown up.
Yes, you did. You stood up proud and you represented well. So, okay, so now get to some of the other stories that I know that we are not limited, but somewhat. Tell us a story about Pops coming in. Now, he was there. When was the statue, the ceremony for the statue? That was another a very wonderful event.
That was a wonderful event. At that particular time, Syria Underwood was the Heritage Center's manager. I had stepped back for about 2 years, and so she was very hands-on. So when you walk up to the Heritage Center, you are greeted by a life-size sculpture of Tuskegee Airman Chief Master Sergeant Richard Hall, Jr. The sculpture is a red jacket. He's in his red jacket and, of course, his red hat. His hands, it is from head to toe, Tuskegee Airman.
Yes.
That was a huge celebration once again for the community. We had community members. I attended the event. Community members came from everywhere. The media was there. Children was there. It was a dedication in cooperation, in conjunction with the city of Winter Park. The Rigoberto Torres, we have images of when he was creating the sculpture. And it's basically, and remember, Pops has been like in his 90s. He was at least 92
yes.
at this particular time.
Exactly. And exactly.
Yes. So he's lying on a table, and you see the artist placed in this fiberglass plaster, and it has to harden. And the artist will put a toothpick in your mouth. Your mouth is more or less closed, but there is a toothpick that you can bite on because you still need to be able to breathe. And then there are these, like, nose stoppers. I'm not sure what those are called, nose stoppers. So the plaster is, so he's not breathing the plaster in. So imagine a 90-year-old man sitting for maybe 30 minutes, so I'm going to say maybe an hour, and having this plaster placed on him in which to create that cast.
You know, he told me, I know the event when it was happening, but he never gave me those details because he got such a joy and we get so tickled about things that were interesting and new to him.
Yes.
So, see, this was an adventure for him. But I remember when this was taking place. But, yes, can you imagine? And let me interject another thing here. When he would go for his physicals, the doctor would tell him, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just old. And you know, you're just old. I mean, you know, your parts are old. I'm paraphrasing. I'm sure he said it in a more professional way. But he was in good health until the day that God said it was time for him to come home. But, he took everything as an adventure. And that, you're right.
Yes.
Imagine someone 90 even wanting to do it. Because most times you get
even
a little cantankerous and you don't.
Yes, I so agree. Even wanted to do it. So, again, you're greeted by that sculpture. About 2 years ago, 2019, the sculpture, and I hate to even bring this up, it was vandalized.
I know it. I know it. That story. Oh. I was there. I was in Florida when that happened.
Yep.
It broke my heart.
That's right. And everyone from the community was in an uproar. I tell you, donations came in for the repairing. The great thing is I reached out to the artist. He lived in Kissimmee, Florida, which is like maybe 30, 40 minutes away, give or take, and he came over right away. He took he rebuilt it. He reinforced that area. It was like someone took something and smashed into the stomach area. And in looking at it, when it was vandalized, this was definitely intentional. It was definitely intentional. And, I mean, there's a lot to be said behind that. First of all, this is an older person. That's first of all. This is a statue, a life-size sculpture of an older person. Who hurts an older person?
Exactly. Absolutely.
So it was symbolic. It's very symbolic community. Where at that point and currently right now, there is no African-American representation in government. So it had a lot of symbolism for someone to come destroy it. We were able to I'm sorry, go ahead, Casey.
No. Yes, I totally agree with you. I'm just validating everything you're saying. Yes.
Oh, okay, yes. So we were able to get the artist back over immediately. He covered it up. It was disturbing to look at. It was very disturbing. The media came right out. And, you know, we got cameras, the city of Winter Park. They placed cameras all around our building, inside and outside of our building. And this way, nothing like that, it's not going to happen again, and we're not going to know who has done it. So we were happy to have that replaced. Then shortly after, it was in the summer, and Juneteenth was right around the corner. So what better time than Juneteenth to do a rededication of that sculpture?
Symbolism.
And that was phenomenal.
Yes. Yes, indeedy. And it comes out even stronger the second time, if you really want to know the truth, because the awareness of and the disrespect of Richard Hall represented and the people becoming aware and outraged by it. So actually, I bet you the second dedication was more impactful than the first.
I believe so. The second dedication, again, I proudly say, at that particular time, we were hosting a Juneteenth event. We pivoted on the dime to make this a rededication. We reached out to our Congresswoman Val Demings, Congresswoman Stephanie Murphy, Congressman Darren Soto. They were there. The Tuskegee Airmen, other Tuskegee Airmen, Fred Robinson, who works with BITAS, the Lodge, Lake Lodge, which he belonged to. The community support has always been unwavering. The for these kinds of endeavors in which to protect our hero, Daryl, I forget Daryl's last name, but Daryl, the day that we had to create a press release, I was speaking to several of the news outlets. Daryl, who was the founder of a local chapter, Tuskegee Airmen chapter, for Mr. Richard Hall, he was on site with us. So when it came to Richard Hall, who's a sage, who is a hero to us, we weren't having it. We were not having it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Oh, I'm telling you, that is so wonderful. And I know Pops is sitting there smiling and standing up straight like a military man. And when he left, he was welcome. The angels were there to greet him. I know.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. We also
With that is the introduction into you giving us the account of what happened. Yes. And he passed, everyone. It was January the 25th at the age of 97.
Yes.
And so at this point, Barbara is going to give you an account of this glorious man's last peaceful moments.
That's right. My director and I had decided Monday, the 20th, that we would go and just give our final farewell to him, so to speak. We had been told that he was in hospice. We get over, my director's waiting. They were due to COVID, they were only allowing two people to come into the room. A third, his caretaker, Deidre Peoples, who's a phenomenal woman. She's been with him and brought him to phenomenal. Brought him to many of our events and things like that. So I am sitting in a chair facing Pop, and his body is turned because he was lying on his side, kind of like in a fetal position, I would say. My director was more or less standing over me to the left of me, and of course we were staying there just affirming and thanking him and, you know, for all that he's done for us as the Heritage Center. And his eyes were open, and, you know, the breathing was shallow. Shortly after, I would say we were there maybe about 5 minutes in, 5-10 minutes in, and behind us, where we were sitting, right behind us was a door that led out to what looked like the outside or an outside porch. And certainly enough, the door opened. And I want to emphasize, the door did not fling open. It did not fly open. It opened as though someone who opens a door would be very slowly. It crept open. And
yes,
it opened wide enough. And I remember turning around. Dee is facing the door because she's standing on the other side. My director is behind me. Dee looks at the door. My director, it's almost like my director stepped aside to let, you know, when you step aside to let someone pass through?
Yes.
Around, we all kind of looked, and my director took like maybe a second or two, and then he closed the door. It was like almost when someone walks through, you let them go through, and then you close the door behind them.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened. And I remember Dee saying, that was Mr. Hall. And we left. We left shortly after that happened, and only to find out that he had passed away very peacefully about maybe 30 minutes after that.
Yes. You know, Dee gave me, she called and she told me the story, and I smile because I can just envision him standing straight and tall like a military man with all of his medals on. And he walked out and saluted all of you, said, I'm leaving. Because Dee did say, and we have to give a shout out to her, because she had been his caretaker for 7 years.
Yes.
For seven years. And with that, she was enabled him to be able to make a lot of the Tuskegee events all over the country.
Yes.
His brother, Richard Hall's brother, is still alive. I'm not sure how old he is. I've forgotten what Pops would say, because Pops was 97.
Yeah,
he's a couple years behind him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so he's a little younger. And both of them were in excellent shape until, you know, they were just elderly, but they were still pretty much in good shape. And when Dee said she had just walked out the room because Pops had been talking, and they had the ceremony. She told me about them having a military, a very small version of it, saluting to him. And Amazing Grace, they sang Amazing Grace, and they had a bedside ceremony for him, and he was aware. And he looked, and he smiled, and he acknowledged it. And so to the very end, he knew how well loved and how well we respected his contribution as being a Tuskegee Airman.
That is correct. I know that. The last time that I saw him prior to his pass and his transition in, they did, this was organized by the Buffalo Soldiers, Lake Hall Lodge, Fred Robinson, and a couple other organizations. We did his 97th birthday in September. We did one of the vehicle birthday parties where you line up. We lined up at the community school that's in his neighborhood, the chief of fire people, the police, and all these other community members. And basically, we did a birthday party, and he was sitting outside on his lawn, and he would wave. And, of course, you know, we're blowing the horn. His neighbors in the community where he lived, his neighbors were just so ecstatic. And, of course, they were outside waving to us. So it was like a neighborhood block party, vehicles, balloons, music. Of course, I was playing Stevie Wonder's version of Happy Birthday.
Yeah.
And just stopping and taking photos and, of course, making sure that he was safe. It was just phenomenal to be part of a participant of this kind of extraordinary community building. An extraordinary international hero, a Tuskegee Airman, Richard Hall.
A salute to a hero, a salute and a tribute, and just reflecting. And you know, we all know we don't get out of here the same way we came in, and we are going to make an exit one day. But to be able to live the life, and that's what I would tell people, what a nice way. And it was sad that, you know, he did not have his wife and he did not have his daughter. But he lived those years productively and with purpose. And with purpose.
Yes.
And he traveled and he did different things.
Mm-hmm.
And he just had such a joy. And he had a beautiful lady because Dee is beautiful inside and outside.
Oh,
and she cared for him as a person, as one of her relatives. And they would be. But you know, the funny thing is, he ate the same meal every day, not just French fries and okra, but he ate the same thing. And I said, Pops, you know, you could have, if you're going to have beef, you know, you could. He said, it's been working this long. He said, why would I change?
Why would I stop now?
And I said, well, you know, you've got the key to the master plan. Who am I to tell you how to live?
Exactly.
And so every day, Dee fixed the same thing.
And she would also tell me, and she told me this on several occasions as well, Dee was his caretaker primarily during the day. She said he would stay alone at night. He was capable of staying alone at night. He got himself dressed. He dressed himself every single day. He took care of himself.
Yeah. Well, he has gotten me to do my exercises. He did so many leg crunches and so many, 100 of this and 100 of that before he got out of bed. So he did these things, and so I have started doing it now because Pops did it. I said if it worked for him, I'm going to try it. So I do all my little leg stretches and all these crunches and things because of Pops. But, no, he did. His legs were weak. His spirit was strong, and his mind was strong.
That's right. Very much
so. And so he lived.
Very much.
He did. Yes. He really did. And remembered and could tell you things. He
mm-hmm.
still remembered anything you wanted to ask him. And, you know, he received the Congressional Medal in 2007. I've got
that
some wonderful
correct.
Pictures of that. I was able to touch the medal and hold it and take a
yes.
picture with him. So
yes.
I've got history from that, from him, that will be so precious to me for the rest of my life.
Yes, yes, yes. And his home museum, I finally saw the home museum. I know you have been there, of all his medals, his awards, his plaques.
Yes,
it was impressive. It was impressive. So I do know the Winter Park Public Library, they will host a lot of his memorabilia.
Okay,
and
good.
So people will still be able to see those things. Not sure when that will happen, being that this is very new, but we
yeah.
will still be able to have his legacy be a part of us, which is an honor, which is a total honor.
Which is an honor. And so for those listeners that are in the Winter Park area, you can go online, look on the website. I did post some information. But the ceremony, his homegoing, will be February the 6th, right? Is that right,
yes.
Barbara?
Yes, I'm here February 6th.
Okay, so
February
it is February.
That's correct.
Okay. So February the and do you know where it is? Can you give the audience that information, and they can also
yes.
go on and okay.
Yes, it will be at the Piney Woods Cemetery in Winter Park. So it's going to, due to COVID, of course, it will be an outdoor ceremony. And it should
okay.
last no more than an hour. And it is a veterans, that is a veteran cemetery.
Okay. I thought so. I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's with his family. That's a family plot also, right?
That is correct, Jeff.
Okay. And so they can get the information about everything. Okay. So his home, yes, our ceremony for him. He's already gone. He's resting in
yeah.
heaven, and he's standing tall and no pain. And I hope he's eating something different. I hope they increased his
one
meal and laid out
wonder.
A big feast.
One can only wonder.
I know. His wife could cook. So I'm sure Thelma cooked up something that was really, really, really worth his coming home. So he
right,
just has
right.
really... Oh, I know it. So he has really, really been welcomed. So at this point, I was waiting for some other people to call, but I know that this is a short show. We're not going to do a full hour, as I told everyone. This was just really Barbara and I being able to have a little laugh and do a little
yes.
reflecting and honoring,
yes.
and honoring
yes.
Chief Master Sergeant Richard Hall, Jr. And as I have said to the audience affectionately, I have called him Pops, and Janice White, it was his daughter's best friend. I was brought into the group. So Janice
mm-hmm.
and Cookie, his daughter, were good friends. And I was brought in because I had just come from Africa. My father was stationed in Tripoli. So we just made it back to the States, and this is when I met Pops. Yeah, this is what
wow.
he and my father were friends, and yeah, and that's how I was introduced. But
yes.
With that, are you having any events coming up for the center that you might want to give a shout-out to everyone to be aware of? And
absolutely.
Also give your website, please.
Yes, absolutely. So the website is, of course, www.HannibalSquareHeritageCenter.org. You can also follow us on Instagram, Heritage_Center, but we're on Instagram. We're also on Facebook. Facebook is the better one, I should say that. Hannibal Square Heritage Center on Facebook, www.HannibalSquareHeritageCenter.org. Coming up, as far as exhibitions, we are going to be hosting Jane Turner. Jane is one of our local artists, lived in the Hannibal Square area, between Hannibal Square, Eatonville area. She has traveled a bit, retired social worker. That exhibition will open, let's see here, It opens Friday, February the 12th, and it will be on display through March the 29th. It's
okay.
called Jane Turner, The Evolution of an Artist, Paintings and Sculptures that Tell a Story. Everything
Ooh,
at the Heritage Center, yeah. And now with COVID, we are doing things by appointment. We're doing everything in a socially distancing way in compliance with the CDC. So we definitely would like people, if groups are coming, if you can call, and I will be there. Also, for the openings, we allow a certain amount of people to go in, and then they kind of tour the exhibition, and then they come back out. So,
okay.
yes, check us out, Hannibal Square Heritage Center.org.
Well, I appreciate your time, and I know that you have a full schedule, so I really appreciate that you carved out some time for this rejoicing, this tribute, and it was it's a matter of rejoicing. Yes, it's a matter of rejoicing.
Yes.
So I will let you go on and get your day going, but I'm going to end it with you, and I'm going to close out with my audience. But thank you so much, Barbara, and we will be in touch.
Absolutely, we will. And listen, all the best to you. I'm so glad that we met. I have nothing but high hopes for all your endeavors, and we will continue to keep you in our thoughts. All that you do, all that you are, we wish you the most and the biggest success.
Oh, I certainly appreciate that. Thank you so much. You made my day. You made my day.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And with that, you have a wonderful day, Barbara.
All righty. Same to you, Casey.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. And I hope you guys enjoyed this interview today. Barbara is just spectacular. When you go in there, you're going to feel like you've just been welcomed into her home. It is not just the center. It is her home. She takes such pride and joy in everything, all the different items that are in there, the history that is on display. So it's one of the things that I think you should put on your list of, I must go by and visit the center. All the information is on my website. And as she said, it's called the Hannibal Square Heritage Center in Winter Park, Florida. So you can always get information and go online. Also, as she has said, contact and follow them on Facebook. But this was just an impromptu of a very special person to me, a very special person to the world and history, Chief Master Sergeant Richard Hall Jr. And we will be able to, well, we have said our goodbyes to him. I know that he is resting in peace. And he, as Barbara told you, that chilling story about the door opening up, I could just envision him standing strong, standing in his uniform with all of his medals and walking out and saluting and said, I will see you all on the other side. So with that, I hope you enjoyed this tribute. I hope that you will continue to enrich your life with history, with Black history. We're going to be celebrating that in a couple of weeks, and so please stay tuned. I will have some interesting people of interest. That's what I always say. I will always have someone of interest for you to meet. So with that, I am going to bid you a goodbye and a safe weekend, and I hope that you have a very, very, very special day. I am your host, Casey Grant, and this is the Fly Girl Show. So with that, I will say goodbye. Tune in next Wednesday.